probably start with music. Oh, we have started already, and we started with a lot of chit-chat for the first about 10 minutes, and now we're going to break that tradition and enter into worship, singing the Lord, worshiping the Lord. How's that? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get underway. Father, thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy together, the richness of your presence. How many are glad that Jesus shows up? We thank you that you show up. And even when we don't sense your presence, you are here, you are with us, because you have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We count on that this morning. We turn our attention to love on you, worship you, in order that we might serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're on, boy. There we go. We're going to start with worship.
If I turn my mic on. There we go. On the way over this morning, I was chatting with the kids. Lisa asked them, are you ready to worship the Lord? And they're like, yeah. And just to give them a little bit of a refresher, I said, you know, a great time to worship the Lord is when Mama says, do your laundry. Another great time to worship the Lord is when you sit down to a great meal. Another great time to worship the Lord is when it's time to do your chores. Another great time is when there's music. Because one of the kids said, I really like it when you play the music while we're doing our chores. Yeah, that's great. Another great moment to worship is when there's no music. But this is a great moment to worship the Lord. Why? Because we're here. Because this moment exists. The reason why this is a great time to worship the Lord is because we have this moment. We're alive. We're breathing. We have space given to us by the creator of the universe. Space right here. No one else in creation could give us this space, but he did. He gave us this moment and said, here's space for you to meet with me. Does that sound like a good plan? Now, I know we may have had various similar occasions, so if that's the case, just let me know. But I do know of one special birthday that happened yesterday, and I'd like us to sing Happy Birthday. Anyone else want to climb onto that train? Anyone else have a birthday this week? I don't know. Okay, so for Mr. Kane, Happy Birthday to you.
Happy birthday. To you, happy birthday, dear Keith. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you, reveal yourself to me. Again. I'm here to meet with you, come and meet with me. I'm here to find you, reveal yourself to me. As I wait, you make me strong as I long to into your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come and you fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place? I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you.
Put the first lines up again, Ellie. I just want you to notice something. Please just get this. The singular difference between religion and true fellowship is the motivation. Are we here to meet with Him? Do we read the scriptures to discover Him? Do we sing the song to worship Him? Do you get the picture? Religion has to do with stuff. The call of God has to do with Him. Always the focus is Him. There's a call, and it has been a call from the beginning. He's looking for a people who will focus on Him. And I'd just like you to tuck that into the back of your head and Keith has a thought to share.
On the drive here this morning, I was listening to Reckless Love, which I don't know how many are familiar with that song. But one of the lines that really struck me in it was the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And I was thinking about that. And the Lord was speaking to me about it in my own life. And I thought to myself, His love for us, if we really truly look at it, is reckless. It's out of control. It's out of our control. He speaks to us the things that He wants to be put into our lives. And we cannot control that. And so the thought process for me, myself, was, if I'm not being totally wrecked by Him, am I actually hearing Him to the full extent of what He's saying to me? If I'm hearing every single thing that He's saying to me and every nuance of what He's saying for my life, then I should be constantly being wrecked by Him. There should be fruit that comes out of my life that can't come out of my life in any other way. I can't control the love that God pours into me. And to tell you the truth, I really don't want to. I want to be changed. I need to be changed. The world and the people that I come in contact with need me to be changed into the image of God. So the question for myself this morning is, am I really hearing?
So, Lord, we are here to meet with You. And we know that You're here because You have spoken concerning Your love and Your purpose. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You're here to release a love that's beyond our knowledge, our comprehension. Are you aware that that's the truth, that His love is bigger than what we can comprehend according to Scripture? It's not just a theological concept. There is a thing that God wants to do. He wants to blow away our comprehension and say it's bigger than what you think. We measure His love according to what we think of His love. And we say, well, it's this plus just an inch more. We're not even close. And so, Lord, this morning we open our hearts to receive that love. And we desire that love to so impact us that we will be changed just by the thrust of that love. We open our hearts to be overwhelmed, cause our intellect to be exploded as you receive the love that is beyond knowledge. We open our hearts to do that today. We came to meet with You. Now blow us away with the expression of Your love. Can you say amen to that? Blow us away with the expression of Your love. One way to know if or whether or not it's you got it is whether or not it leaks out. If you can contain it, you didn't get it all. When you find that you haven't any more room for it and it's leaking out your pores, then you're beginning to catch the drift of what God is doing.
In Jeremiah 31, and I got onto this because it was being spread abroad at food pantry the other night, and I haven't gotten away from it yet. God says, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Already that's incomprehensible because we don't understand everlasting. We think we do, but we don't. Just try to think about it. You'll never figure it out. Goes on to say, therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. That's what's going on today.
So, Lord, we are willing to be drawn. Draw us after you. Let us run together. Let the love that so motivates you motivate us. We pray in Jesus' name. People say,
this is a time for seeing and singing. This is a time for breathing you in and breathing out your praise. Our hearts respond to your revelation. All you are showing, all we have seen, commands a life of praise. This is a time for seeing and singing. This is a time for breathing you in and breathing out your praise. Our hearts respond to your revelation. All you are showing, all we have seen, commands a life of praise. No one can sing of things they have not seen. God, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse. The glory of you, the glory of you. God, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse. Worship starts to sing you. Worship starts to sing you. Our hearts respond to your revelation. Worship starts to sing you. Worship starts to sing you. Our hearts respond to your revelation. This is a time for seeing and singing. This is a time for breathing you in and breathing out your praise. Our hearts respond to your revelation. All you are showing, all we've seen, commands a life of praise. No one can sing the things they have not seen. God, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse. The glory of you, the glory of you. God, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse. Open our eyes as worship starts to sing. Worship starts to sing. Respond to your revelation. Worship starts to sing you. Worship starts to sing you. Our hearts respond to your revelation. Our hearts respond to your revelation. Our hearts respond. Open our eyes.
rise towards a greater glimpse, the glory of you, the glory of you. God, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse. God, open our eyes. God, open my eyes. Just ask him now.
Good morning. When we got in the car this morning, I said to Keith, you know, what's God saying? And I said, are you hearing something? And he said, not yet. And I said, well, earlier I heard the song, We Cry Out to Dry Bones, We Cry Out to Dead Hearts. And that was the end of it. And then when we got here, he just said, I think there's something to that, honey. And then the other sense that I had when I initially arrived was the sense of the angelic, that the angelic is like here. I don't know if anybody else can sense it, but and they're waiting. And I was like, what are they waiting for, God? And he said, they're waiting for you to give them a direction. And so we just, if you're dry, we're crying out to dry bones. We're crying out to things that are dead. You know, we got to where we thought it was spring, and now it looks like it's winter again, but it's not. And you have to raise your faith up and say, it's not. What he said is still true. And where this is the season. We are in spring. We are in we have passed over. We're heading toward Pentecost. So if you need to stay, to decree that to... We're going to decree that with the apostle, and we're going to tell the angels to come to minister. If you're dry and if you got a hard heart this morning, invite them to come and bring what God has to break us open to worship the way that we are called to.
This morning, I was up at 5 o'clock this morning, and I heard the Lord saying to me, many years ago, you gave your heart to me, and we made a covenant together. And you haven't kept your covenant, but I have kept mine. And then he started speaking or singing to me that song and Misty Edwards' song about speaking to the dry bones. And so what he was saying to me was, come alive, come alive. But he was also asking the question, church, where is your victory? And that was what he was saying was, you need to come alive. You need to see how much I love you. You need to come alive. So that's why we're going to do this.
Tune in. Tune in and hear it. Can you give that back to me?
I lost it.
When the Spirit of the Lord do two different people, time to pay attention. Of course, it's time to pay attention the first time, but, you know, the slow of heart needs two and sometimes three. And so God is gracious enough to give us, if I'd shut up and read what he's got here.
Four.
All right, four and five. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, behold, I cause breath to enter you that you may have life. I put sinews on you and make flesh grow back, cover you with skin. I put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know. And there is a thing that you might say, I'm doing pretty good, but I want you to hear this. Your pretty good isn't anywhere near to what God calls good. And so if you're willing and to open your heart to receive, I just wanted to declare, I release into you today a fresh flow of the Spirit of God. And I speak to those bones that remain dead. We say, come alive in Jesus' name. I speak to the body. Let sinews be developed and muscle be accomplished. And bring forth your purpose and your will in these lives in Jesus' name. I release life. Life to these bones, life to these bodies, life to these people, and through them, life to the world around them. I declare life in Jesus' name. These bones shall live again. These bones shall walk again. These bones shall carry the life of God into the world. Life go forth in Jesus' name. And let all the people say, amen. There are, earlier Diane mentioned that there was angelic forces waiting for orders. We release them to accomplish the purposes of God in our lives, in us and then through us. Let the word of the Lord be accomplished in us and through us in Jesus' name. And all the people say, amen. Let it be done in me. In me, Lord. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read another word that Big Dave's copping out on us this morning. He's had the flu for the last couple of weeks, and if he walks around the house three times, that's it for the day. That may be it for 2 days. That's how it's affecting him. And so we say to those dry bones, live in Jesus' name. We put the life of the living God into those bones and just defy the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. Defeat the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. His word to us this morning, this is Big Dave. He says we need to be positioning ourselves with intentional intensity. And then he goes on to say, we will embrace your move. Was a song that he was hearing, and he heard it, and he said, he felt like it was not sufficient just to say, we will embrace your rule, the nice song we sang, ho hum. He felt like it saying, latch onto it, big time. We will embrace your move, spoken to myself, as I will enhance, as I will embrace, I do embrace, I now embrace. And it will not be with a Hollywood embrace, a casual embrace, or a double pat on the back embrace, but a bear hug embrace with intentional intensity. He's talking about our response to the call of God. It's not, oh, yeah, sure, okay, yeah, do it. He's saying, latch on to it with all that you have. Am I happy? Go after it. And then he asks the question, am I happy just to crawl up and sit on his knee? Or do I want to tuck myself under his chin so that I can see what he's doing and help him drive the car? Participate with him. Plug in. And so that's the question that's put for us this morning. We've heard the call. Do we want to plug in with intensity? Intentional intensity. I think there's a time when it's fun to crawl up on Daddy's lap and be comforted. But the request or the call that he's given us this morning is not crawl up in my lap and be comforted. He says, wrap your arms around me and don't let go. I want to participate. I want you to participate with me in my kingdom. Are you willing to be that kind of a Christian? If you will give me a moment, I want to read you just one part of a verse. I was reading my Bible this week. Oh, wow. And this is Paul. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I count all things at a loss for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. This is not a random ho-hum. He says, all the rest. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. He was saying, man, nothing else is even close. It's kind of like he was wrapping his arms around. And he says, that I might be found, and I might gain Christ and be found in him. Now listen to this. This is the part that hit me. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. He was saying, I want something that can't be performed by the will and the purposes of men. And in a sense, when Dave talks about wrapping our arms around him, we can hang on. But we're looking for him to put something into us that will massively change us. So we hang on. We plug in with all that we're worth, and we say, do your work in me. Do your work. And that's what this morning is about. Do your work in me. And Paul says, I want that righteousness, the accomplishment of what God does. I want what God does to be done in me, what God does. Can you say amen to that? I want what God does. I want what God does. This week I've been talking to several different people, and I noticed, I was talking to prayer meeting, pastor's prayer yesterday. And I said to them, and they looked at me like I was crazy because they don't know me very well. And so they're just discovering the fact. But I was realizing that all the changes that we work in our lives, like New Year's resolutions, they're good for about 30 seconds or 30 days. We say, this is really going to change. And we grit our teeth and it works for 3 days or 5 or 10 or 20. And I said to the guys, I am coming to the conclusion that the only real change that occurs is the change that God does. And if he doesn't do it, not much gets done. And I feel desperate that we say to God, work that change in me. Whatever that thing is, change it. You do it so it get done. And that's what we're about this morning. He's inviting us to allow him to breathe his life into us, his purpose, his nature, his character. And in doing that, affect the change that will impact us in our world. Can you say amen to that? And so here we are, Lord, this morning, and I pray in behalf of these people, for myself and the people that are here, and the people beyond here. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name at which every knee shall bow, in that name, I ask that you release into this people the power to change. Individually, separately, the way we individually and separately need changing. Would you do that? I ask in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Change me. In the areas I need changing. I trust you to pull it off. I wrap my arms around you and hang on. And you do the stuff. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen.
I am the Lord your God.
Hear it.
I go before you now. I stand beside.
Turn our attention, and we do turn our hearts to you. We are grateful for your so sweet invitation. We are grateful that you call. We are grateful for your call. And so this morning we do come to you. We come. And we ask, Lord, that we would be receiving today and receiving as a way of life, receiving from your hand.
Your grace.
Receiving your love, your faithfulness, your grace. We receive today. We latch on, and may we continually receive out of the abundance of your love so that the world may know that there is a God who loves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Please, Lord, hear our prayer.
My sense this morning is that the Lord is speaking to us about resurrection power. I was looking at this right here, and the one that stands out to me the most is He is risen. It's not He has risen or He was risen. He is risen. That resurrection power is available to all of us day by day. The Lord says to you and to all of us, do not be deceived by the religious side of things that says that resurrection day is one day out of the year. God says resurrection is available to you day by day, minute by minute. It is available to you. Resurrection power is released into your lives so that you may have abundant life in me. Open your heart today and receive from me. Receive that resurrection power that brings life, that you may be changed, and that you may live in such a way that I have designed for you.
We open our hearts to receive that resurrection life and power. We open our hearts now. We breathe in. We breathe in the life of the resurrected one. We breathe in. We breathe in the breath of God. We breathe in. And may we continually breathe in the breath of God as we walk through the affairs of life. We breathe in and we breathe out the life and the power of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I've asked Paula to share something with us, and so I'd like you to tune in to what Paula has to say. And I'd also note that if you have a bulletin, in the bulletin is an insert. Come ahead, Paula. And the insert has a thing that's called a prophetic word, which she sent to me this morning. Do you want to come up here, Paula? You don't, do you? Come anyways. And if you didn't get one, James will pass you one of these things. If you didn't happen to get a bulletin, the insert is part of what Paula shared with me this morning, and hopefully she'll share some of that with us this morning.
Hello. Sorry about people who were here at the food pantry volunteer meeting that will hear some of this for the second time, but Pastor George wanted me to share about some...
Up on your chin. Just rest it on your chin.
About somebody that the Lord has put on our hearts to help out through the food pantry outreach. I got a call about a month ago. Different agencies know of us and will call for people. And I've never had a call before from the a social worker at the Veterans Administration. And she said they had a vet that was in a crisis situation and almost homeless and had no food. So it was packing day. And I said, oh, we'll take food to him tonight because he lived in Ontario. And it was a day of an incredible blizzard. And so me and Aaron go over there. And first it's this house that like is divided up into all these apartments. We can't find which one. Knocking. Nobody will come. Finally, praise the Lord, a guy came out and asked who we were looking for. And he directs us around the back of the house, sort of. And we had to go upstairs. Well, we're traipsing through literally 2 feet of snow to get these boxes, knock up these stairs that are like this really narrow thing. I'm thinking, oh my, are you kidding? And we get up there, and I was picturing just in my mind like an older gentleman maybe, you know, whatever. And here's this young guy and his dog in this very neat apartment with hardly anything in it. And we brought the food up, and I looked at him, I said, you're not what I was expecting. I said, why are you here? How'd you get in a crisis situation? And he said, medical things. I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, depression and PTSD. And my heart just about broke right then. I'm like, oh my. I'm like, I hugged him. I said, can we pray for you? He's like, yes, please. So we did. So then I think I got busy for like a week with my mother-in-law, some surgery and things. So then we got in touch with him again. He could use food. We went over. So we've been there a couple times. And so when we first met him, he told us that he was being admitted into the Canandaigua VA Medical Center for a month for help. And so I'm trying to keep my thoughts straight. I'm sorry. So he had to go there last Wednesday. And I told him I would bring him. Well, something about him is just unbelievable, is that he has nobody. His parents have passed away. He has a sister in another country that he rarely hears from. And his 41-year-old brother died not that long ago from a sudden heart attack. So he was in the military, and he was working on some military bases in, like, Arkansas, Texas. And he's from Pittsburgh, so he moved back here. And had a job, but just decided to get his depression and things taken care of. That, you know, there's a lot of counseling and stuff down there. So I dropped him off. I took him because he didn't have anyone to take him last Wednesday. I went in with him while he signed in and everything. And when they asked him who they should put down for next of kin, he just sat there. And I said, me. So I gave him our information. And then they asked his address, and he said, I don't have one because he's no longer in that apartment that he was in. Well, the Lord has very strongly put him on our hearts. And, you know, we cannot allow, we have got to be so tucked in with the Lord, we cannot allow ourselves to be moved by emotionalism or by what we see in the natural even. We have got to be so tucked in with him that it's him who moves us. And I'm telling you, when I dropped him off, I said, oh, while he's here, I'm going to go on a Daniel fast and just be in prayer, you know, as a family. And, you know, then I was going to tell the church about it. I will tell you, Wednesday, what Keith said earlier, I should be constantly totally wrecked by God. And what Dave said, position ourselves with intentional intensity. Well, I didn't do it, but God did it in me. I have been wrecked for 4 days. I have eaten almost nothing, drank almost nothing, not even knowing what's going on around me. Been in this place with the Lord that I don't really totally understand. But at Food Pantry the other night, someone with a prophetic gift who just knew about Patrick but didn't know anything else told me she sees that God is birthing something through me. And I don't really understand that either, but I know he's doing something huge. And I know he is so after Patrick. And I really feel he showed me that Patrick is a sample of what he is doing in and through us, even through Patrick. Just in the amount of reading and research brief that I've done about PTSD and veterans, I mean, it is overwhelming, the number of guys in his situation, people in his situation. So also, I want to tell you that somebody that we know through East Pale that God reminded me of works in the VA medical center down there in the crisis hotline area. So I called him. And that's all. I don't know if all of you here know it. This is so interesting. That crisis hotline center is the largest in the world. They get approximately 2,200 calls a month from veterans, like almost suicide-ish type calls. He was in the text area that day where veterans text in. And so I told him about our friend, and he's going to check in on him. He's going to follow him all along. He used to work in that area where Patrick is right now, so he's going to just be right with him. So I just want to share all of that because the Lord has put us so strongly on our heart, knowing that he is involved right here. And so many confirmations. Yesterday, I was at a store in Webster looking for hiking boots for him. This is mind-boggling how God shows up. I am not kidding. I am just standing there. And I see some awkward man. I look, and a guy fully dressed in an army outfit walked by me. So I told Sean, I go, I went right after that guy. I said, hello, are you in the army? So, and yes. So I started chit. I go, believe it or not, I'm here looking for boots for a veteran that we're helping out. So I tell him the story, and he's this cute young guy, and he's just like, oh. He couldn't believe it. He was so happy. And I told him our church, you know, I put it forth as our church is doing this. And he said, God bless you guys. You know, I want to receive that right now as a blessing from a fellow military person to the one that we're helping, that we receive God's blessing in us working with Patrick and praying for these people. You know, just thank you for that, Lord. And so pardon me? Oh, that's where I left off. Yes. So anyway, the Lord did lead me to just some perfect things already. And he has nothing. I mean, just to tell you, so we're going to be helping out with that. And that he's just going to receive the love of God so strongly through it. And to talk to him, he's just fine, you know, and he's, you know, so normal and he's smart. And you think, oh, you know, this debilitating stuff that people have that literally is, but God's heart for him is just so huge and so full of love. And oh, so I just wanted to share something really quick. There's a book called it's by Jonathan Kahn, something about mysteries, that's out right now, and this one portion of it touched me so strongly. And it's, I'll just read a tiny portion. The cosmic love. Define love, said the teacher. Love is to want the best for another, I replied. Yes, he said, and to put it another way, love is to put yourself in the place of another, to feel their feelings, walk in their shoes, weep with their tears, rejoice in their joys, take upon yourself their burdens, and give to them your life. I like that. The scriptures declare that God is love. He said, if God is love, he must be the greatest love, the ultimate love. Do you believe God loves us? I do. Then what must love do? Love must put itself in the place of another. And then it goes on to talk about, of course, God's love, the greatest love ever given. And then one last thing, probably more I could share, but is, I don't know how many of you know of The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. The very end of the book, the last thing he says is, you have learned a little about using my sword, but love is my greatest weapon. Love will never fail. Love will be the power that destroys the works of the devil, and love will be what brings my kingdom. Love is the banner over my army. Under this banner, you must now fight. So the other night we were making some batches of cookies to take today for him and for him to share. And even the love in that, I just see everything that God is just, he's just going to do it. He's going to be bringing these children of his into his kingdom. So we just join in with what he's doing and thank him for the opportunity.
Has got a heart that's been touched by the love of God. Did you catch
You got the drift of that, right? This is not Paul. This is the God Paul. God did something, and she's a mess. She's kind of wrecked, as we might say. She's wrecked. She's a wreck. But I'd like you, Paula, would you pray for us that the God who has so touched you repeatedly related to the needs of people. Sure.
Crisis Hotline Veterans Call 1. There's an online movie you can watch about what goes on in that crisis center. HBO did a documentary on it, and it is phenomenal. It's hurt.
I was going to say, anybody that's been in the military will understand this, is you are basically, well, he was in the Army, so it's an army of one, but you are a part of a team. You're there to support the team. But when it comes to a personal, your personal problems, you're supposed to keep those in because that could interfere with the team. Now, here's a man that basically put everything on the line for the country, and he disappeared after he got out of the service. Yeah, he had some jobs, but it couldn't hold him because of basically the issues that basically he was dealing with. So he went basically out there. Nobody knew where he was at. He was in Texas, wherever. This is God's timing. This is God's working. God moved him into Pittsburgh area, into basically an apartment that you would drive by it every day and never know who's in there, because you don't. There's no tire tracks. He's got a car out front that he can't drive. I don't know why, because he wanted, probably doesn't have a New York driver's license. But now he's stationary there. He made it a decision himself that he realized he needed help. He set up to go to Canandaigua. At this point, all of a sudden, God says, okay, it's time for us, the team, to move in and help this gentleman who has been waiting. It's God's timing that at that snowstorm, okay, yeah, we'll go. It wasn't Paula. It wasn't me. It wasn't our family. It was him stepping in the back into this guy's life. Mm-hmm. What it's doing, it's showing this guy he is not alone. Mm-hmm. He is still part of the major team, and we are here to help him.
So we have an opportunity here to help. And I'd like us to just quickly note something. You know, we can almost get an attitude problem thinking, well, what's the problem? Why aren't these guys tough enough, for crying out loud? What's wrong with you? I can tell you basically the issue is that in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and even World War I, and partly to World War II, people didn't get home. They died while they were out there. Now we get them home. That's a major difference. Get them home, we've healed their wounds that are external, the physical wounds, and then we say, what's the problem with these mental rooms? What's wrong with you emotionally, and so on and so forth? Up until recently, they never got home. Of course we didn't see it. They died out there. Back to you, sir. Really? They left themselves, the body get back. The body got home, but the mess is still, they carried the mess home. So here's a chance. We have an opportunity. Now, before you pray about us to have a heart of love that's sourced in him, you did have one other thing that you didn't mention. There's an opportunity to buy boots and stuff to help him this morning. And so, we're not asking for a pile of money. We're just wanting to notice that there's a box here and that we can put a little bit together to put some life into this guy. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I love you, you're sweet. It's quite another thing to buy a pair of boots or a shirt or something. Yeah, Betsy, loudly. You want to say it? Go ahead, Paula. What was he doing? Okay. He was a scout. So that means he's behind the lines alone with two or three guys. And
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Really exciting work. If you watch the movies, it's exciting, but if you're actually doing it, it's not. There's a different word for it. Yes. There's. Yep. Yes. There's a price paid, and we offer. We benefit from it. Yeah, Bob. The Roman centurion in the day of Jesus is an example. He had faith. He reached to Jesus. He said to Jesus, "You can do the job. I can count on you." Today, we want to release into this man the kind of faith that centurion had. And love is the key to the release of the faith and stuff. So, Paula, would you pray for us that we would, are you willing to be challenged to love the way God wants us to love, which is not just say, oh, bless you, that's nice. I mean, that's nice. It's better than cursing him, but a love that reaches out. She is crazy. How many of you know that? She's nuts. Her husband knows it too. But when you are wrecked by the love of God, you begin to go beyond what would be normally expected. So, Paula, would you pray for us? And I'd like to receive some of that grace.
First, I'll say just two last things. One is the Lord's put things on my heart already. I've made him cards already. Surprise, surprise. And on Easter, the Lord put an amazing, I just felt really beautiful things on my heart, and I made him like an Easter basket, and I put his name on the egg, you know, and I left it there on Sunday morning on the way to church, whatever. He had not had candy in so long, and he said he loves sweets. I mean, the whole thing, I know God just poured out his love that day. So God put on my heart every single day to be mailing something to him. I mean, I see him, we see him, you know, but still, every day to be receiving, and every day, like, I haven't even had to think about it, look for things. No, the Lord just, right there, what, you know, sometimes it might be a card, sometimes it's just something brief. So, for those and for ones other people will be doing, we want to pray about that too. But one last thing I have to tell you is next Saturday, April 14th, is his 49th birthday. And I think that my friend down there, they're supposed to stay in there solid for 2 weeks, but I think my friend might be able to let him get out. Maybe we can take him out for ride, dinner, whatever. But so he's turning 49 on 4/14, and I just happened to notice 4 plus 1 plus 4 is 9. 49, there's something prophetic about that, so I'm still seeking the Lord about that. But I know just by God showing me that God has something special for him that day and in these days. So, Lord, we do come together this morning, God, and just seeking more of your heart, more of a receptivity in each one of us, Lord, to receive your heart and also to receive your heart for others and in ministering it to others, Lord. We acknowledge, God, that we do not want to operate but what we see in the natural, but we want to see with spiritual eyes, God, with your eyes. We ask for your eyes, your sight, your heart of love, Lord. We ask that you would just rise up in each one of us so that in each moment of our days, your purposes would be accomplished through us. I was feeling, when I was first knowing him, like lack. Like, oh, I wish I ministered more to people. I wish I had more experience ministering. I don't know. And God just showed me recently so clearly that sometimes we think we know things. Sometimes a knowing is just too much even. But that it's in that place of being tucked in with him that it's literally in hearing so clearly by his spirit in the moment what he has. And he just encouraged my heart so much with that. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for each one of us. It doesn't matter what we've done, haven't done. What matters is our intimate, personal relationship with you. God, draw us deeper and deeper into you, into knowing and hearing and receiving your heart. Lord, we just thank you for that today, God. And so, Lord, we look to the work that you're doing in Patrick, and we thank you that you have called us to join in with it. God, we acknowledge that as a privilege to join in with the work you're doing in someone's life. And we just look to him and ask, God, for you to do what only you can do, God, and open up his spirit. We speak to his spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Awaken
Amen.
To the realities of the love of God towards you. God, cause him to just receive your love. And we pray not only for him, but for so many who are in the same situation as him, veterans in general, God, that you're just touching our hearts with. Lord, do in them what only you can do. Put people in their lives, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, who will love them. Something that guy dressed in the army outfit yesterday said to me is, sometimes just knowing somebody cares makes all the difference. So, Lord, do that in so many veterans' lives, we ask. We just thank you, God, for this new, I don't know, I feel like it's a new, you know, we have the food pantry ministry, but I feel like this is just, we know they're there, but I've never really had such a burden before, and I know it's God's doing, so thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Betsy wants you to mention clothing or something.
Yes, so he has almost nothing, really. His boots must be 10 years old. So we want to get him boots, a jacket, jeans he desperately needs, some shirts, just some things, and just to start really loving on him. And so that's what Betsy was talking about the box up here. So just thank you so very much. That's truly a love offering.
All right. What God has begun this morning, way back, it was a month ago, in terms of opening our hearts to receive his love, there is an outward flow of that which has been presented to us this morning. Covenant Life Fellowship. Covenant Life Fellowship will get it. Anything that goes in this box will go to Patrick. And the last time we did one of these offerings, and I don't have the exact number, but we did one of these random offerings for Doris in Kenya. Do you remember? I don't know, a month ago, maybe 5-6 weeks ago. The offering, you know, don't do much, just some pocket change and whatever the Lord tells you, was, I think it was $565 for just pocket change. So you must be wealthy people. God has been good to you, right? So as you feel prompted by the Lord, in the wooden box, we'll help take care of Patrick. Keith reminded me of something that happened, oh my goodness, it'd be 10 or 12 years ago. At least 10 or 12 years ago, Rex Berger was here. Rex and Lois came two or three times. And the last time he was here, I think it was, Rex prophesied over this house and said that we would be ministering to veterans, and the veterans would be coming to receive ministry and being touched here. Well, maybe the time has come. It's an interesting thing. I just want to point this out, that God's prophecies, the word of the Lord, is not done in a moment. Sometimes it is, of course, but not always done in a moment. I just want you to think about for one moment the anointing of David to be king. He's a shepherd boy, and he's anointed to become king over Israel. And it was 14 years minimum before he was king over all of Israel. Bible scholars say it was 21 years before he was king over all of Israel. And I don't know how they figure out which is which, because when I looked at it, I couldn't figure it out.
But we'll say that the scholars said at least a minimum of 14 years to something of possibly 21 years for him to see the prophecy fulfilled in his life. You know, if he had been American, about 6 months later, he would have quit and gone back to taking care of sheep. And you think Joseph as well. You remember the young lad Joseph having dreams about the glorious future that was coming. And from the time he began to share the dream until for years, and I don't know what the number is there, but for years, it went downhill and downhill and downhill till he was locked away in a dungeon. And it was totally hopeless, a convict in the dungeon, and there was no color TV there. I mean, that was one of the problems with that dungeon. They had no color TV for them to expend their time on. All they could do was kill rats and pick off lice, you know. And so it was a bit of a downer. And so it would be in the vicinity of the same number of years before Joseph is exalted to be the prime minister of Egypt. The prophecy was good. The man was faithful. And God pulled it off. And a lot of times, if he'd have been American, he'd have been out of it within a year from the time he started doing it. Because his own brothers began to mock him and beat him up. And his own brothers sold him into slavery. And then when he tried to walk with God as a slave, it went from bad to worse. He ends up in jail, falsely accused and judged and thrown in the clink. Not a very pretty picture. So, while I meander around talking about things, you can think and listen to what the Lord would have you do in terms. And don't get carried away. Don't get wrecked. Save some of your wreckage for out there, okay? Go ahead and get wrecked. Do a little and save some wreckage for out there. I want to read, I would like you to read some scriptures. And I want to be quite quick, so we aren't... The good news is I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'm going to skim through this. And you can be comforted with that reality. At the top of your page, and of course you say, which side's the top? It's the top is the yellow side. It says, faith is exercise whenever we reach out to God for help. Whether it is for forgiveness as a brand new believer, for healing with the last gasp of breath, or for deliverance in the darkest days, it is faith which turns us to God, and while it may seem to be an action of last resort, God sees it as faith because it is faith. Jesus talked in the course of his life about little faith, great faith, small faith. But I'm trying to point out something, that the greatest miracle in your life was accomplished with a little faith when you said, Jesus, please forgive me and come be the Lord of my life. That's the greatest miracle of all, because it moves you out of time into eternity. It's pretty big. Seed, mushroom size seed of faith. I want to talk to you about the reality of faith, whether it be called little or great or small or mustard size seed. Faith is a reality that is pleasing to God and releases the power of God. The red that goes under that says God is always good to everyone all the time. Eternity surrounds time. And on the back of the sheet, down at the bottom, you have a picture down at the bottom in the box, and it says eternity. And there in the middle of eternity is a tiny word, says time. The problem with that picture is that the word eternity ought to be infinitely larger, and the word time ought to be significantly smaller. But the picture that I want to give you is that the eternal God fills the eternity, and we who are in time reach into eternity. And what I want you to get a hold of here is that if God says, I love you, the eternalness of God covers the entire spectrum of time. It isn't like one day he does, the next day he doesn't. It's totally covered from start to finish. I love you. And when it says that God is always good to everyone all the time, he doesn't have to make up his mind, because the eternal God is the same from the beginning to the end. And so he is always good because he can't help himself but be good all the time to everyone, because everyone gets the splash of his reality. Eternity covers the whole picture. The good news is that we're not going to do the whole sheet, so be encouraged. Are you encouraged again? All right, be encouraged. We're going to do the top half of this side, and just reading through. Let's read it together. If you get a sheet, you can read it with me. Psalms 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. And then Psalms 43:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Then in the box we have those scriptures, or some of those scriptures, and alongside of it some highlights that relate to the scriptures. And the thing that I want to walk with you through this morning is that the scriptures do talk about standing in faith and declaring some things. While we're at it, let's switch over to the other side, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But switch over to the other side, and moving down to where the red is, down just below the halfway mark, Psalms 34, 1 through 9. A psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that a nice yay, rah, rah? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Well, there are high days in which that becomes a reality. There are days when you can celebrate that. And a lot of times the faith teachers will tell you that's how you ought to be all the time. Well, I want you to notice something, that David wasn't that all the time. Even though he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. If we read some of the other Psalms, we find out that David says, things are rough. And so I want to go back and look at the declaration of a man of God when things were rough. Sometimes we do face rough days, difficult times. And I want you to recognize something. It isn't, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth all the time. You're right. I heard that no. Get this. There were times when David went to the Lord and laid it out in front of him. He said, things are tough, and I don't understand what's going on, and everybody's against me. And it wasn't because he was lacking in faith, because we'll get to where he turns from that thought to another thought. But let's go back to the box in the front, and we'll read this. And David says in Psalms 42, verse 1, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night. I have only tears for food. My enemies continually taunt me and say, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowd of worshipers. I led the great procession to the Lord, the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He says, I remember about that day. Singing for joy and giving thanks with the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? And I want you to hear this. It's not, I don't care what the arrogant know-it-alls say, it's not wrong to say, I am discouraged. When you're discouraged, stop. Might as well tell the truth, because the truth lover knows the difference between truth and fables that you make up. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior. You see, he laid it out, but he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. But in the meantime, I will praise him again, my God and my Savior. But right now, I'm deeply discouraged. But I will remember you. Apparently, I lost a part of this in the translation. Something. He speaks of the grief and the... I hear the tumult of raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. And then he turns back and says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. And then he goes back, oh God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief and oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then he says, but I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my God and my Savior. The point that I'm trying to put out before you today is that there will be times in life when it seems like all is lost. There are times in life when we are discouraged. And it is at a time like that that it is very appropriate to carry that right to the Father in heaven and lay it out before him. Define the struggle, the desperateness of your situation. Say it. And I want you to hear this just as clearly as I can say it, but I want you to hear this, that in that moment, the very fact that you bring it to him is an act of faith. It says you are there. This is happening, but you are there. And I'm bringing it to you because I think because you are there, you have something for me. I'm reaching for the something. I declare that you will yet redeem me. You will save me. You will draw me out of this disaster. That is an act of faith. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a declaration of the difficulty, but it's also a declaration, even before you say it, a declaration in the expectation that there is a God up there who will redeem us, who will save us, who will pull us out of the net. Can you say amen to that? That is worship. That is definitely an element of worship, because what you have said in that moment is, in spite of this mess, my eyes are on you. I expect that somehow, somewhere, sometime, you're going to pull me out of the mess. I look to you. And so there is a reality in which it is very much legitimate to acknowledge our need before God and look to him for the deliverance. True to my word, I skipped the second half of the page. How's that? Say amen, brother. You can read that on your own. Top of the next page. A Psalm of David. Psalm 142. It's called a prayer. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him. Now, I don't know exactly what he's complaining about, but he's complaining. He's saying, this is wrong and that's wrong. And it says there, and I tell him all my troubles. Well, I don't know how long that takes, but have you ever had a time when you had enough troubles that it would take 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes to tell God all about them? I want you to know that Scripture tells us that it's okay to do that, in spite of what the other teachers teach. When I am overwhelmed, you, God alone, know how the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares about me. They don't care a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O God, and I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. I suppose that every one of us at some point in time have had occasion when we wonder, what happened to God? And why is it that the whole world seems to be bent on destroying me? There seems to be no hope. We have had occasion when we think all is lost. But it is not a problem to declare that to God and look to him for our salvation. Skipping now down to almost halfway. Psalm 34, 1 through 9. We're doing well. We're doing good. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in thee, Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encompasses around those who fear him. They rescue them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. And then it says, compare 34 with 42, and of course that 42 is what we just read. The struggles, the hurts, the hopelessness, the depression, the discouragement, and then the declarations of reaching out to God. All are legitimate. Then moving down to Philippians 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about some of the sufferings that he has encountered and how he has tried to be a godly person and so on. And we're starting with verse 7, Philippians 3, 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. For more than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I might attain the resurrection from the dead. And then skipping down to 2 Corinthians 7, 5. Even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us. Now, I want you to just see this. We talk about the Old Testament and in David's struggle. He acknowledges, I had this problem and that problem. I came to the end of myself. I turned to the Lord. Then we have Paul in the New Testament. And Paul, incredible. I mean, he would be a major apostle of the New Testament. And listen to what he says. When things really got rough, we were afflicted on every side. He didn't say everything is hunky-dory. He said, we're in trouble here. And in another passage, it's in Corinthians as well, but he talks about how many times he's beaten and how many times he's thrown in jail and how many times he's beaten with rods as well as whips and shipwrecked and going without and hungry and cold and discouraged. Here he just lightly touches it. We were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without. Fears within. I don't recommend that we live in fear. But I don't recommend that we pretend it doesn't exist. Where it exists, we put it before the Lord, just like David would. You want to say, let's get real. I'm not interested in fake religion. Neither is God. Do you suppose God is surprised when Paul says, you know, I went through all these things, I did it well, ha, 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 and I was never afraid? God doesn't get so easily fooled. He says the conflicts without, the messing around, all the stuff that's coming against us, and then I have fears within, but God comforts me. And I think that there's a reality in which the church needs to recognize it's not wrong to be discouraged or to be fearful. It's wrong to live there. Bring it to the Lord and look to Him to lead us out. Down at the bottom now, you see the picture of eternity. In the middle of eternity is time. And in the picture of eternity, I want to see you see eternity as being God is love, totally surrounding this moment in time. And of course, this doesn't really picture it because it's two-dimensional. We need a three-dimensional picture in which the eternity surrounds it in both dimensions, and that the thing called time is in the middle of the core. All around it is the love of God. And I want you to think of this and just let this settle in. Do you suppose that when Paul was going through those times of conflict and beatings, you suppose God didn't love him in those moments? You suppose the God of love had gone on vacation in the South Pacific someplace? He can't do it. He can't do it. That's the problem with the eternalness of God. It surrounds every moment of time and every person within it. And so there he is, the God of love, in the middle of the mess, loving his servant, Paul, who is weeping and beaten, bleeding, broken, and fearful, according to his own definition. And the truth is, God is love to every person at all times. And in the middle of the disaster, the loving God was present, ministering life to him. Keith, did you want to say something? Or were you just putting horns on top of your wife's head?
Those are rabbit ears. Rabbit ears.
Oh, rabbit ears, okay.
David Brenner, you'll remember a book that you distributed several years back. He wrote something about how in Christianity we have taken deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me as essentially walking in denial, as in we don't acknowledge what we are dealing with. We're supposed to deny ourselves, so this is a religious, this is the right thing to do. And the Lord has ever since been helping me learn to acknowledge what I'm going through as a necessary and healthy step to laying it down, denying it, and following Jesus. And recently, even Lisa and I were discussing something, trying to come to a decision about something, And I was having a hard time getting clarity, hard time hearing what the Lord was saying. And eventually, you know, it's probably a good idea to be open and honest with my wife. Special occasions. I just started saying, okay, well, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm struggling with. It was in the background. I wanted to keep it in the background because I knew it wasn't, you know, this isn't clarity. This isn't what God is saying. This is just the stuff that I'm muddling through. Okay, well, here's what I'm muddling through. And after just airing out what I was muddling through, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, I was just able to literally say to the Lord, okay, here's all the stuff. It's out in the open. I lay it down, and I just ask for your word and your clarity, and it came right away. But it came after I was willing to say, hey, you know, here's the stuff that's in the back of my head, but it's affecting me, and this is what it is.
That is essential truth, that there's an ability and a necessity of revealing our needs before God, and there is a value in acknowledging them before men. To walk around and say, I got it all together, is a problem. Then you have to hold it together all by yourself. But to acknowledge your need before God and your fellow man opens the door for reality and the power of God to be released. Down at the very bottom, maybe I should read just the rest of that because it's there. I can't remember what it said, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me. So I rejoice even more. I just want to point out that it is true that we are comforted by God, but it's also true that we carry the comfort of God to others. As we receive, we are able to carry. And it's just much like the love that we've been talking about this morning. We receive the love of God and we can carry the love of God to others. It's as we receive that we carry. The last thing that's on the sheet, and you'll heave a sigh of relief because we're there. I just want to point out something. A temporal focus imparts death. The eternal focus imparts life. And the question is, what is your focus? I'd like to just pause on that for just a moment. The things that distress us often have to do with our temporal existence. We're sick, physically sick, or my wife is sick. And it's costing me extra time to take care of the old lady. The temporal focus brings about discouragement. There's not enough money to go around. The temporal focus impacts us with discouragement. People are laughing at me, in church even. The temporal focus brings about depression. Do you follow what I'm saying? The focus is, what do they think? What do they do? What is happening in the temporal ladder? The focus on temporal brings about discouragement and distress and death. When our focus is on the eternal God and his kingdom, I want you to catch this, when our focus is there, the question isn't, will I survive this? But will this, or how will this, and what way will this enhance the kingdom of God in me or through me? The sickness. Okay, I am sick. I'm allowed to say that in the presence of God. And God is not shocked. The goal is to say, all right, Father, I know that you're good and that you're good for me and in me, and you have a good purpose in this very moment, in the middle of my sickness. And I yield myself to you to accomplish whatever that is. And if it will bring you more glory to heal me instantly, then have at it. But if I need to walk this through in order to accomplish something of your purpose, then have at it. I am interested in being your man in this hour. And whether it be sickness or lacks of money or the mockery of people or the resistance of others, I want you to get this. God is in it for good. There are people who will say, oh, no. If it's a bad thing, it's always the devil. I would say go read your Bible. Throw away some of the paperbacks that you've been reading and read the Bible. Read the testimonies of the servants of God and see what they went through and find out why they went through them. Sorry, I get the preaching. I just want you to hear that it's important to read your Bible. But read it as a testimony of people who have encountered God. And in their encountering God, they have released their findings for other people. And you will discover that God is at work and has been at work in the lives of people for thousands of years. And the records of the scriptures show how God spoke into this man and accomplished that. And struggled through this kind of trouble and accomplished something else. The scriptures reveal God at work in the lives of people. And it's not always peaches and cream. God was at work in the lives of people when it was difficult, as well as when it was peaches and cream. And eventually they get through the difficulties and come out and they say, oh, celebrate God with me. It was fantastic what God has done. The part that we missed or we skipped, I just want to read that. We did skip this, and I got 1 minute. We'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is full of the people of faith, fantastic people of faith. And then as we get closer to the end of the chapter, verse 35, we'll start there, Hebrews 11, 35. Women received their loved ones back again from the dead. Boy, that's great. Yay. Others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. Not so good. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Yeah, fine. Some were jeered at. And their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawn in halves. Some were tested. And others were killed with a sword. Some went without wearing skins, sheep and goats. Destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. It does not say all these people, that these slobs just didn't have enough faith. It doesn't say that. It says these people have a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God has something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. So we are surrounded by so many examples of faith. We must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sins that distract us. We must run the race that's set before us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus, the source, the author, and the goal of our faith. He saw the joy set before him so that he endured death of the cross, ignoring the disgrace that it brought. Now he holds an honored position, the one next to God the Father in the heavenly places. Think about Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up. The focus. Shall we focus on the temporal or shall we focus on the eternal? And as we focus on the eternal God releases his eternal purposes in us. Now, I want you to hear that. As we focus on the eternal God, he releases his eternal purposes in us. As we focus on the eternal God, he releases his eternal purposes in us. And his eternal purposes are always good. There's a few purposes that he needs to accomplish in me, and there's a few purposes that he needs to accomplish in you. And as we focus on him, he releases his eternal purposes in us. He equips us to meet the issues of life. He enables us to walk in love and in the power of God. as we focus on him, he accomplishes his purpose. His kingdom is forever and ever, and he has invited you and me to be a part of that kingdom. Let's focus on him. Let's give a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercy for us. Anybody here thankful for the mercy of God? How about during the last week or so? Me, thank you, Lord, for your mercy that's been extended even the last week. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth endureth forever. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for the truth that is being revealed to us. We thank you for the spirit of truth that has been given to us to lead us into all truth. We embrace that reality today. We thank you for the challenge that you have put before us today to love with the love of God. We recognize that you have that challenge for all of your children everywhere. But on your mercy and grace, out of the abundance of that mercy, you have invited us once again today to step into the fullness of what you have purposed for us. And we thank you for that. We invite you to remind us in the days ahead. Would you remind us of that challenge so that we won't fumble along with foolishness? But in the days ahead, we will tune in here and manifest the purposes of God. And all the people said, amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. And may he be glorified in how you live your life. Amen. The wood.